Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. This is your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Stone. How are things in your world?
Well, things are really going well, but there's news at your house. Max got the part, yes?
Yes, he got a lead role in the movie Almost Maine.
Fantastic. And my youngest has been at the J. Christopher restaurant for 3 or 4 weeks now. She's coming home every Saturday and every Sunday with her own money, celebrated.
There you go. Does she have to put in an envelope? You guys use the envelope
system? We do use the Dave Ramsey envelope system, and so we're all paid up. Absolutely. Speaking of money, a little bit later in today's program, we're going to get a chance to visit with our good friend Randy Gold from AGH. But first up on the High Velocity Radio Show this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce from Possible Now, Mr. Eric Tejeda.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, gentlemen. It's great to be here.
How'd we do on that last name?
You did great.
Possible Now. What is Possible Now? Who are you trying to help, and how are you trying to help them?
So Possible Now is the leading provider of consumer preference management solutions. So in layman terms, what that means is that we provide the technical underpinnings for consumers to be able to indicate how they want to engage with a company, and I'll just give you a quick example of that. Let's say that you're a banking customer, and your bank offers business services as well as insurance products, and you're not interested in either one of those, but you are interested in the consumer products from a banking perspective and maybe home loans. So you may want to say, you know, on your banking products, I'd love to sign up for your newsletter, and I'd like to get that through email.
Right.
Once a month. But on your loans, I'm interested in refinancing my house, and I'd want to get a text message about that if the interest rates drop. So we give the technology that allows consumers to indicate specifically what they're after. And in return, what that does is enables companies to communicate and engage with their prospects and customers on the way that they want to be engaged.
Now, so are you primarily the technical aspect of that or the words and picture aspect as well?
Well, we provide the technical infrastructure for that. Mm-hmm. It's a SaaS-based solution. But we also have a professional services organization that consults with companies because there's a lot of work that has to be done as companies are. It depends on the stage that they're at. You know,
right.
When they start to think about how do we move from traditional marketing to now this new world of digital marketing, there's a strategic component of that, and we can work through that with them as well.
So it's a full service, your full service agency?
Absolutely.
Now, have you always been involved in this arena, or what did you do before you got into this line of work?
Well, I was consulting before that, and I consulted a lot just from a marketing perspective with small business owners, and just prior to that, I was with ADP, and I headed up marketing for one of their business units. That was right here at the corporate headquarters for national accounts.
Now, are companies embracing the technology and utilizing it to their fullest at this stage, or are they still in the kicking the tires? You know, because this is new for a lot of companies. You know, they were used to running ads or putting up billboards or, you know, running traditional commercials or print ads.
Right.
But now this kind of an environment, the social media environment, is more of a dialogue. Do you guys help them through that?
Well, everybody's trying to figure that out right now. And there's some leading edge companies that are absolutely in the mix. But there's still a large majority of people that are trying to figure out what do we do, mm-hmm. you know, and can we do it in a meaningful way that actually produces marketing ROI.
Right.
And so we're kind of we're on the front end of that wave, and we're really excited about it. There's a lot of momentum and excitement in the industry right now.
Now, are your clients the ones that are the kind of adventurous ones that are pushing the envelope, or are you able to get more of the traditional ones to try this new thing?
No, we've got both. I mean, there's obviously you've always got the market leaders and the thought leaders out there that are jumping in the water first, but there's a lot of traditional companies that are looking at this because they have to. Because
right.
If they don't, they won't be competitive any longer.
Now, this idea doesn't have to stop at the computer or the tablet or the phone, right? I mean, you want your employees interacting with customers in such a way that you can find out more about what they want and why. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, today we've kind of come into an environment where we're switching from push marketing, which is traditional, mm-hmm. and there were three or four key ways to do that, you know, email or TV, radio, print. And today with digital marketing, there's all kinds of new channels that are out there. So it could be social media, it could be mobile applications, it could be LinkedIn, it could be Twitter, Facebook. So there's so many other avenues to communicate with consumers now that managing all of that is where companies are having a challenge and figuring out the best strategy for getting out there.
Now, a word you used earlier was engagement, and that's a different kind of a strategy for most traditional businesses, right? Because at some point in the past, they were just trying to interrupt whatever you were doing with some sort of a message, like, hey, I exist, buy my stuff, kind of, it was more of a monologue. And in the new world, it seems like it's more of a dialogue, that you want the customer, whether they're a business owner or a business person, or a consumer, to kind of talk back in some manner.
That's right. So that's exactly the point, is that now it's all about engagement. It's a dialogue. And the other trend as a result of that is that we're seeing, instead of these really short sales pitches or messages that companies pushed out, really now they're trying to engage them in a dialogue, and they do that through producing content. And so it's more of an educational process. So it could be that I'm blogging, or I'm offering a white paper or a video that educates the consumers, mm-hmm. and then they may ask a question in return. They may comment on my blog, and then we're into a true dialogue, because I'll respond to their comment.
Right. And then you're just kind of trying to woo them over time.
That's
rather
right.
than sell them right this minute.
Exactly right. So it's a little bit more of a slow burn, and it's a process of building a relationship with another person.
And trust.
Absolutely. Trust is a big part of that.
Now, Stone, don't you wish there was some sort of a customer engagement marketing summit that we can just get all this information?
Oh, man, that would be awesome.
This is your lucky day.
What?
So we've got the Customer Engagement Marketing Summit coming up here in just about a month. It's mm-hmm. And it's a conference that's designed to help companies move from that traditional blast marketing that we just talked about more into the engagement marketing, so that they drive meaningful relationships through that.
Now, what was the thinking for your company to put on an event like this?
Well, you know, we've been going to a number of trade shows every year.
Right. You probably go to conferences. You want to know what the best practices are, right?
That's right. And we were seeing, and there's a lot of conversations about engagement today. Virtually all of it had to do with big data analytics, so predictive analytics, where they're looking at this voluminous amount of data that's based on Twitter and all the social media. So right. everybody's out there talking, and so you're trying to listen to what they're saying and insert yourself in that conversation. Or profile data. What have you bought in the past? If you bought product A, maybe you want product B
right.
today. So everything about it, though, was predictive, and we're trying to make educated guesses about what you want next, and therefore I'll serve something up that's relevant. Mm-hmm. And that's great. That's a very important thing to do. But what we weren't hearing in the marketplace was anything to do with giving the customer a voice in that. And so we wanted to introduce the CEM Summit to bring that other part of that equation into it. Because the two of them together, big data analytics, which is predictive, and then actually getting the voice of the customer together, is a much stronger value proposition.
Now, we had Eric Holtzclaw, he's one of the speakers at this event, a few weeks ago, talking about it. Who are the other speakers you have for this?
Well, we've got a number. First of all, if the lineup for the day, kind of the story arcs that we've got, we're going to start out really high picture or big picture, and Chick-fil-A is going to kick us off, and they're going to talk about building relationships in store and how they do that just based on who the people are that are frequently in their stores. So
that's a customer, and they do a great job of hiring. I mean,
yeah.
You know, for a fast food restaurant, they're able to get 16-year-old kids, you know, to be extremely well-versed in engagement.
they really do a great job of training their employees and hiring right and then engaging with the customers that come in.
So that would be a good opportunity, I think, at this conference, since we're focused on customer engagement and finding out what the customer wants, for me to pitch my idea for grits at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, cheese grits? You know, that would have been a really great idea, but we're our entire agenda is full.
Maybe next year.
So I appreciate. Yeah, I'll put that. I'll put you on the early part of the next year.
Yeah. Okay. But so they're going to talk about how they do it in store, which is, I mean, that's where the rubber hits the road, right?
That's right. And so then, we're going to talk. Hernan Romans, who is an industry thought leader, and he's in the Marketing Hall of Fame. He really focuses for years on voice of customer research, and he's in field right now with some research, and he's going to talk to us about the results of that. So that'll be hot off the press and directly from consumers. Responses is going to come in and talk about new school marketing and really that whole process of, for marketers, how do you move from traditional marketing to digital marketing and engagement marketing. Then we'll dive deeper. Once that kind of that big picture is set, we'll dive deeper into, you know, specific mobile marketing strategy, social media, big data, and consumer preferences.
Because you got to know how all those play together, because the consumer is using multiple devices every single day, right?
That's right. Yeah. No, it's called the always on consumer, and so they're always on some type of device, and so we're going to talk about that and how that impacts the picture as well. And then the second day, we'll have Ernst & Young come on and kick off and talk to us about how employees really impact engagement of your consumers. So that'll be exciting.
Now, are you finding that companies are open to having employees, have the power to interact across the board, or is it like only our social media department handles any interaction?
We don't let Kevin talk to anybody.
Some people you have to keep in a dark room, but and a lot of organizations are understanding now that you have to be empowered, whether it's the folks in your call center, sales. Maybe it's agents, or it's the folks back that are responding to social media.
Right.
So if they're monitoring what's going on in social media and inserting themselves, they need to be able to engage in those conversations. And obviously the trick there is being educated and trained in how do you do that in an appropriate manner and still maintain the integrity of a company's voice.
Right. Now, with social media, it's so interactive with the communications are one-on-one, right? So it's that person in the call center maybe interacting with that customer, and that could be on Twitter in 5 minutes if somebody's angry, right?
That's right.
And how are you finding the actual client being comfortable with that kind of power the consumer now has? You know, because the genie's out of the bottle. If I happen to have 5,000 followers on Twitter, and I'm saying I'm mad at XYZ company, guess what? 5,000 people know I'm mad at XYZ company now.
That's right. And that's why that's so important to get your arms around. I mean, putting your head in the sand and ignoring it doesn't make the problem go away. And so now that consumers...
But companies like to control the message.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the way it's always been. You know, I got to say what I wanted to say, and you guys would listen and buy my stuff.
Yeah. It's much like politics today, isn't it?
Right.
But you can't. And so what you can do, though, is come to the market with a fresh set of eyes and ears and a fresh set of tools and approach it differently. Mm-hmm. And the people that do that, the organizations that do that, are going to win, and they're going to win big.
So there must be some science, methodology, structure, set of rules to doing something with the information you get from your client engagement. So, for example, what if one whack job or three whack jobs say, look, I want you to add cheese grits to your menu. You can't just
turn
around
and
you're
just not going to let this go with the grits, right?
Well, I want that to get the airtime, but I can see companies struggling with what do we respond to? How do we say no? How do we say yes?
Right. The squeaky wheel gets the grease a lot of times.
Yeah. Well, you know, and there's a lot of, with some of the tools that are out there, you can see how much influence certain people have. Mm-hmm. And so those are the ones that you want to be influencing. And if they do have a complaint or an issue with something in your organization, you want to head that off right away. And I'm telling you, when you respond to somebody in a positive way when they've got a complaint, you can swing somebody quickly from being a detractor to an advocate, and that goes a long ways.
Have you seen that in your organization with clients?
Well, we do that with our clients all the time, but as far as doing social media, that's not the space we're in as far as our tool set's concerned. But that's the kind of thing you read about all the time when you're reading case studies and you're hearing about stories of companies that are proactively going after that. It's amazing the results they
get. So then the company has to really be a good listener and have tools at their disposal that they can hear all of this, the chatter about their brands and their organization.
That's right.
So they can respond quickly.
Exactly.
So that they don't let something turn into, a day, a week, a month's going by, and this, a handful of people are just making a lot of noise about something negative.
That's right. And those are the types of topics that you'll learn more about at the Customer Engagement Marketing Summit, across the spectrum of the speakers that we have in there. And that's why we're excited about it, because they really do bring a full spectrum of all the things you need to be thinking about as we turn our attention to engagement marketing.
Now, who is the attendee? What do they look like?
So the typical attendee really is comprised of primarily marketing and customer service or customer experience professionals, mm-hmm. and executive management. So depending on the size of the company, we typically go after mid-size and large enterprise organizations. So it might be a manager or a director of mobile marketing or digital marketing or marketing communications. Or it could be a vice president of marketing overall, and they have the responsibility for making sure it happens, but they're
right.
not necessarily pushing all the buttons.
Mm-hmm. So when and where is this event?
So it's September 26th and 27th right here in Atlanta, down in Buckhead at the JW Marriott. So it's a great location, so right across the street from lots of restaurants and great shopping.
Yeah.
So I want to hear a little bit more about Possible Now and dive into the work, and we're going to interview Randy Gold for his own segment here.
And he's going to have some, he's going to want some free advice.
That's right.
Just giving you the heads up right
now. Well, no, we're going to do that right now. Let's get Randy
That's
some
perfect
help.
Because I need some tax advice.
Look, it's a win-win.
That's right. We're here to help everybody. So an organization like his, I mean, they can't be picking up the phone, calling you out of the blue, asking you if you'd like some accounting services. It's probably never served people in his arena particularly well to blast out with the interruption marketing. If you were to sit down with their firm, what are some of the early steps in your engagement cycle? How does the tell us a little bit about how the work unfolds?
Well, a lot of it has to do with, we come in and we talk about where you're at and what type of marketing you're doing and how large your organization is. If you're a company that really is pretty focused and you've got a single product line like tax services or something like that, and you've really got one audience, you might just be communicating through a single channel like email, and that's pretty simple. So just about anybody can do that. Now, if you're a large organization with different business units and different product lines and different people are communicating, marketing and sales and customer service, that's an environment where you really want to have all of that centralized. And so if somebody comes to you in your call center and says, hey, I've got a question about my taxes, and while they're talking to somebody, they express an interest for how they want to be communicated with, and maybe the person in the call center takes that down. But how does the person in sales or marketing or customer service across the organization use that? And that's when it needs to be centralized and can be shareable with mm-hmm. everybody else in the organization. But that's kind of the process we'll go through. We'll have somebody in business development sit down with you and start to work through that process. If it's an environment where it's complex, then it might be that we need to engage somebody like Eric Holtzclaw's organization, our professional services organization, and sit mm-hmm. down and really work through and map out your communications flow.
Because you want it to be integrated. Like, it can't just be a one-off thing in a silo somewhere, right?
That's right. Well, and the reality is that's a big part of the challenge. I mean, you've got marketing databases, you've got CRM systems, you've got maybe you've got an email service provider, and all of those are separate databases and they're siloed. So in order to be able to share all that, there has to be a mechanism for centralizing the consumer preferences, and that's what we do well,
mm-hmm.
So that everybody's got access to it.
you know, Eric Holtz call, his name's come up a couple times in this conversation. I got to ask you guys, do you find yourself partnering with other kinds of service providers to help you execute on some of this stuff?
Well, we do. We've actually got a really great partner, Responsys, and they're a marketing firm. They do email and multi-channel marketing. So they're a big partner for us. They're going to be at the conference, and they're going to speak. But, you know, so they're pushing out these campaigns, and they're doing a lot of the social listening and digital marketing. We're bringing in the preference management infrastructure, and the two work very well together.
Now, can you share a success story maybe of a company that you were working with that had some challenge and you were able to kind of jump in there and save the day?
I can. So last year at our CEM Summit, a large technology firm that we all know that is in the accounting software space, they have products for consumers as well as small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And they were having what they called atomic opt-outs. So people, they would send out millions of emails every year, and they do that on a monthly basis. And people would opt out, right, completely. And when they opt out, they can no longer communicate with that
in any way,
consumer in any
right.
way. So they may have just wanted to opt out of the business
of one
product,
thing, right?
But the reality is now they can't market to them any longer right. with the personal product.
So that's a big problem for them.
Huge mm-hmm. problem. So they needed to fix that problem. And that's the way a lot of companies get started with us. They have a specific problem or pain point that they want to fix. And it starts there. So we come in and solve that problem. And it's interesting because of 12 months, you know, we started with them in a pilot program 12 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And in their test pilot, they had out of the people that wanted to opt out, 12% chose to stay in the franchise. So they didn't opt out. They did instead was they chose specifically what they were interested in. So now, not only do you not have an opt out, you have a more targeted and specific prospect that you can go after with a very specific offer. This year, we just got results back from that same company, and their results when they rolled it out full scale, and we're talking about millions of communication pieces, their results were they saved 65% of their opt-outs.
So only a third really wanted to opt all the way out.
That's right.
Two-thirds wanted some sort of interaction with something else.
That's right. So they said that's enough. But the other two-thirds, and that represents when you start to do the math for the value of each email address that they can market to and what that translates into from a revenue perspective, the ROI is huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, millions of dollars for that organization. So that's, we're very excited about the results that we've gotten.
So the rollout went even better than the pilot.
That's right. Yeah. So really, we're all learning together. And so an organization, part of that process is, you know, where are we now? Let's take step number one. And then when you do that, you learn design techniques, for example, for your preference center. How do we make it more engaging and more inviting and easier for people to find what they need? And you do it better the next time. And the results were dramatic in their case.
Now, when you were discussing the pilot, was it difficult for them to even consider trying this kind of pilot? Or, I mean, they had this huge problem. They knew they had a problem. The level of people quitting altogether was significant enough to even have a conversation with you.
That's right.
But how much did you have to persuade them to even test your methodology?
We really didn't. They had a pain point and they needed to solve it. And they knew monetarily what that represented to them
right.
based on how many people were opting out. So they knew they had to solve it. And so they actually found us on the internet and found our website. They had been looking for quite some time. They were getting ready to build it in-house,
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't find a solution. And they came across us one day and gave us or shot us an email through our website. Responded right away. They were thrilled with that because it was actually on a Saturday that they sent in a request for more information, and one of our business development guys responded that same day. And they were so impressed by that. So the next week we were in conversations. Within about a month, they were a client. So,
wow.
And that's pretty unusual. I mean, that's because they were ripe. I mean, they were ready to go. And most folks, obviously, it's a little bit longer sales cycle because it's, you know, when you're talking about big companies, they have to get a lot of people on board.
Right. It's more of a complex sale.
That's right.
Right.
I went into this conversation thinking that the work that you guys do would really lend itself to some industries and not so much to a lot of industries, but that doesn't seem to be the case. This has application for virtually every segment, doesn't it?
It really does, but in both B2B and B2C. So, Because the reality is that obviously B2C, like retail, financial services, consumer products, insurance, home services, or healthcare, those are all very big, and there's a lot of communication going on there. But B2B also, it could be technology, and maybe you're IBM, and your customer is the CIO or other technical professionals in companies that you market to. Well, you don't want to send all your communications, because IBM's got, you know, 50 different, 100 different products that they're pushing out every month. And if you're sending all of those, you know, security products and
to the CIO, you're missing the bulk of the...
He's going to opt out. Right, he's right. Like, I'm not your mailroom.
Exactly.
So,
and he's not going to share it.
That's right. So, I mean, because he's not the mailroom.
Right.
He's got
bigger problems.
That's right. So if you can take the preferences for the different professionals on his team and get them exactly what they're after, and IBM actually did this 10 years ago, and their results were dramatic. I mean, it was literally the difference that when they engage, they reduced their average number of communications on a monthly basis from 50 to 3. And you would think that would mean, because you talked earlier about this control issue, right, we want to be in control of our message. When they went from 50 to 3, they drove an extra $600 million in revenue.
Nice.
Because now their message was getting through.
To the right person.
It was relevant.
At the right time.
That's right.
Well, I'm excited about this this event, the speakers alone, but also just hanging out with other people that are genuinely interested in figuring out how to communicate effectively with the customer and genuinely prepared to take their voice and use that to impact the way they serve the market. Just hanging out with other people like-minded, I think, is worth the time and energy.
Yeah, I think it's, like you said earlier, it's the Wild West. Everybody's learning, and to hear a bunch of smart people in one place and get the best practices really can help any organization.
That's right. In fact, that's what I think was the highlight of last year. The way we structured the CEM Summit, the majority of the events, it's a single track, with the exception of two in the afternoon of the first day where there will be dual track. But most of them are in the main ballroom, so everybody sits at rounds and they can interact. It makes it easy for them to interact as opposed to classroom seating. We all take breaks together, and it's the speakers, it's the attendees, it's the sponsors. They're all interacting together. We have cocktail parties together and meals together. We're going to have tables set up by topic. So if you've heard some things from speakers in the past or in the earlier sessions, and you want to talk more about that, you can sit at a table with people to talk about that in more depth. We're going to use polling technology so that they can get real-time feedback from the audience when they're speaking, and they can address those issues. So there's lots of very organic ways to engage with other professionals in this space that are thinking about it every day.
So where can our listeners go to register for this event, is it too late for anyone that might be interested in sponsoring?
We are actually booked up on the sponsors, which I'm delighted.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I can breathe a little bit easier now. But if you go to www.cemsummit2013.com, it'll have all the information there about the event, and you can register as well as get a hotel. And I would do that quickly, because the hotel block special rates, it goes away September 5th. So I would do that this week.
We're going to stay over at Randy's office, so we're good on the hotel.
Okay, good.
Coordinates for Possible Now. What's the best way for somebody to learn more about Possible Now and maybe set up a conversation with someone on your team about those services?
Yeah, well, there's actually two websites you can go to. You can go to possiblenow.com, which is our corporate website, or you can go to our product website, which is mypreferences.com. and learn more about specifically the My Preferences product.
Well, thanks so much for coming in and visiting with us this morning, man. This has been very informative, exciting, and Lee, if it's at all possible, and we're back from San Francisco, I think we got to find a way to go to this thing, yeah?
Yeah, this kind of stuff is so important for community, for Atlanta, for you guys hosting that, and we're really appreciative that you are taking the time and energy to put on an event like this, because it helps everybody in the Atlanta marketing community when somebody takes the ball and really puts on an event like this.
Yeah, and that's why we're excited to support Atlanta in that way, and we'd love to have you guys both join us, and we really appreciate you having us on the show today.
Well, thank you very much.
You are more than welcome. Hey, you going to hang out with us while we visit with our next guest?
I will. I'd love to see what Randy's got going on.
And that was good. You brought your box of receipts, so we'll be able to just <That's perfect.
laughs> All right, next up on the High Velocity Radio Show, we have with us Lee, no stranger to the Business Radio X microphone, our good friend, CPA, Chief Operating Officer and Principal with AGH. Please welcome back to Business Radio X, Mr. Randy Gold. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks, guys, for having me again. It's so nice to be able to spend the morning with two of my favorite guys in the radio business.
So did you learn anything in that last segment?
Boy, I tell you what, the whole idea of marketing to consumers is something that we struggle with because our business is significantly different. You were talking about a Chick-fil-A. Our business is significantly different. I talk about all the time that new clients come to our firm for two reasons, relationship and expertise. And our ability to communicate our expertise through our relationship channels is exactly how we grow our business. And when you talk about 50 communications versus 3 communications and it drives revenue that way, if you're describing your expertise effectively in 3 communications a month and you're able to drive your revenue, that's exactly where we want to be. So, yeah, I thought it was fantastic. A lot to learn.
Great.
Now, you guys have moved into new digs, and how's that working for you guys in that beautiful new office?
It's fantastic. We're on Piedmont Road at 3500, and we were on the 6th floor. We moved down to the 5th floor, took over the entire floor, actually. We've now grown to almost 100 people. So we've got the whole floor with room to grow. We've moved into gorgeous new office space. Everyone is really excited to be there. The most exciting news in the firm now is we're about to put a sign on top of our building that says AGH. So next time you guys drive by and you can't remember which building it is, you'll be able to figure it out pretty easily.
Even
Stone will be able to figure it out.
You should do it like Ruth's Chris Steakhouse and be Randy's AGH.
No. It doesn't work that way in our firm. We've got 100 of the best people in our office, and for every single one of them, you could put their name in front of AGH because that's the type of environment that we have. Everybody feels that sense of ownership and pride to be working where they are, and we see it every day with not just the smiles on people's faces, but also we have no turnover to speak of. People don't leave our office. We have lifers in our office, not the type of lifers that are chained to a cell, but the type of folks who really want to be at our firm, and that just feels really good.
Now, has the economy picking up impacted your firm? Are you guys growing?
It really has impacted our firm. We've seen a lot of growth in the marketplace. We have 4 main practice areas. 2 of those are real estate, very large real estate transactions, and also closely held businesses, probably similar to Possible Now. We represent some startups, and we represent companies up to about $250 million of revenue. We've seen a lot of transactions that have been taking place. There have been a lot of acquisitions, a lot of mergers. We've seen new businesses starting up in different verticals. So, yeah, it's been great for our company, and we've continued to grow. The summer is typically the slow time for accounting firms, and our summer was incredibly busy. It was like a second busy season for us.
Now, you guys have a kind of a unique firm governance structure, and has that helped your growth?
It has helped our growth, and actually what we've done is we've employed some of the advice that we give to our clients.
Wow, imagine that.
I know, hard to
believe.
Write
that down. That's a good tip.
Yeah, we're actually eating our own advice here. And so for many, many years, we had Paul Paris, one person who ran our firm. Paul is our CEO, and Paul, unfortunately, is going to retire later this year, even though I've begged him not to. So we've taken Paul's job and really divided it among 5 different people. And I think it's really a testimony to Paul that we have 5 people now doing the job of 1. But what we realized is we could take each individual person's strengths, let them focus on those particular areas. So we have people in our office that are focused on HR issues or our internal daily operations. We have people in our office that are focused on making sure that we're communicating effectively throughout the office. My role is the vision and strategy and growth of our firm, looking at merging in other firms, looking for new practice areas. We recently merged in a firm earlier this year that fit very nicely with our closely held business practice. Eric and I were talking in the green room before the show. They have 110 employees. So we represent companies that have 100 and so employees and are making X amount of revenue, but we weren't servicing their need in employee benefit plans. When you reach a 100 employee threshold, you may have a need for an employee benefit plan like an audit, like a 401k. So we actually merged in a firm that could help us in that area and add the additional practice, the additional service that we weren't fully playing out. So, yeah, it's been great.
It's that kind of depth and breadth that makes a firm like AGH very attractive to a company like ours. We're kind of on the rise. We're looking to grow. And you feel like you can go in that one door and you've got whoever your primary contact is. They're really just the quarterback, right? They can help you in so many different areas.
That's exactly right. What we want to be able to do is bring the different experts to the table that can serve your need. So if you have a tax need, that might be one person. If you have an audit need for your company, that could be another. If you have an employee benefit plan that needs some service, that could be another. We also own a completely separate payroll service that competes with the ADPs and the Paychecks of the world. A number of years ago, one of our partners said, you know, all of our clients get upset with these large national payroll companies. They can't seem to get it right. We've got a service business. We're service oriented. We can do this better than they can. So we started a payroll company. Mary Armbruster is the CEO of that company. And the person that you talk to when you call is the person who processes your payroll. They know your business. They know the issues. And it's amazing what a service business model has done for the payroll industry. Our payroll company has grown dramatically. So yeah, we want to bring the right folks with the right expertise to the table to service whatever need you might have.
And then it was like Eric was saying earlier that it isn't in a silo, because now if my need grows, you're kind of watching my back at all at every stage of this, right?
That's exactly right. If we were to operate in a silo, we'd miss great opportunities for our clients. So the days of operating in silos are long gone. You know, the ability to bring in the information, as Eric was saying earlier, from multiple databases and to coordinate the information that you might have in your marketing database and for us in our practice management software or maybe in our tax return software is so very important. We continue to refine that in our office because we want to be able to identify needs that the clients may have before they come up. Many firms talk about their mission. We don't talk about mission. I find that word mission to be you know, very, very difficult for somebody to understand. It almost sounds very stealth. We talk about our fundamental purpose. What's the fundamental purpose of AGH? One of those is to be proactive in the way that we serve our clients. So we're looking for those opportunities to go to our clients and say, hey, we see this as a potential issue down the road. We want to help you avoid that pitfall.
Now, how refreshing is that? Most CPAs are reactive. Mm-hmm. Like they're like, well, if I would have known about that 6 months ago, you wouldn't be in this kind of problem. And right. You guys are kind of looking forward. That's really refreshing.
Yeah, we actually consider ourselves very refreshing. Mm-hmm. The idea that you could go to your clients and help them with an issue before they even recognize it, or to bring in a service to the table that would put money in their pocket is one that clients really respond to very nicely.
But it's, again, you're the experts. If I knew everything about accounting and all these problems, then I wouldn't need you.
That's exactly right.
I mean, I'm trusting that you're the best at what you do, so I don't have to think about it.
Well, and the idea there, too, is we want clients who are willing and open to having the conversation. It only the idea that we can bring expertise to the table to help you only works if you're willing to listen and you're willing to let us help you. So we work very, very closely with our clients. It's close communication so that we can build that trust with them so that they do understand that we have their best interests at heart and that there are opportunities where we can bring something to the table that will make a difference for their business.
I have to believe that your work environment is very unique compared to most CPA firms. Talk to me a little bit about your recruiting and when you go out and you target to acquire an organization and you assimilate them into your culture. That's critically important for you guys, isn't it?
We have the best culture of any professional service firm I've ever seen. So not just accounting firms or law firms, insurance firms, consultants. We have a fantastic culture. And one of the things that we're very, very protective of in our office is that culture. So whenever we hire someone, we do a really strong background check and we do a personality check on them. We want to make sure that they're going to fit in our culture. If they've got the right expertise but they're not going to fit in our culture, it just doesn't work. The same is true with firms that we merge into our office. We're in conversations now with a couple different opportunities to bring folks into our office that would really be a fantastic addition to our practice. But if they're not the right fit culturally, it'll never work. We do have a unique environment. I don't mean the type of unique environment that you might see at a startup technology company. We don't have we don't have ping pong. We don't bring our dogs to the office every day. But what is unique about our environment is that people enjoy each other. They enjoy being together. It's a very, very friendly, family-oriented environment where people just enjoy coming to work. Like I mentioned earlier, we have no turnover in our office, which is fantastic. In our industry, turnover is, you know, averages 20% a year. And so for us, where we're at, you know, 2 or 3% a year, we really feel good about the culture that we've created.
Now, how do you guys kind of integrate yourself into the community? How do you get involved with different community events?
Our office historically has been very, very involved in the community. Many of our partners serve on different boards of directors of organizations. In fact, tonight, one of our partners is the chair of a networking event in town that benefits one of the organizations that he's on the board of. We encourage people to get involved in the community, and we want people to be involved in things that speak to them, where they have an emotional connection. We don't want to just sponsor an event and say, this is you know, where we're involved in the community. We want to be able to really make a difference. And, you know, it's everything from we take suggestions from our folks in the office about where we should give charity every week for our Jeans Charity Fridays, to helping people be involved in ways that are meaningful for them. I'm involved in a number of different things around town. That the firm provides the flexibility for me to do those things is really important to me. And it's the firm being able to support me in my efforts outside of the office.
What is the charity you're involved with?
So my wife and I are blessed with three beautiful kids. My five-year-old daughter has a Jewish genetic disease called mucolipidosis type 4, ML4. So I work very, very hard with the ML4 Foundation and our executive director, Rebecca Oberman, to find a cure for Eden's disease. On top of that, my wife and I founded an organization that provides screening for Jewish genetic diseases. We want folks in the community to know that there are 19 diseases out there that they should be screened for before they have children. We have been very, very lucky in partnership with the Marcus Foundation here in town and Emory University to create a program that over the last 2 years got us to the point where we're about to launch on the Southeast and then nationally with a saliva test where you can really be tested at home for these genetic diseases, get your results back in the mail, and then know what you need to do to have healthy kids of your own so that a family doesn't suffer with a child that has a disease.
It's always so refreshing and invigorating to have you in the studio. I wish you'd come in every week.
I would be glad to come in every week. You know, Eric was talking earlier about call centers. The last time I was on the show, we got so many calls that we had to start a call center. We call it the Business Radio X Call Center. It's been incredible. So I'd love to come and join you guys anytime.
No, we do have so much fun when you come in. And you're doing such great work. You're really to be commended.
Well, thank you. You know, I appreciate that. And the truth is everybody in our office does great work. Our folks are very focused in the office on making sure that we do the best for our clients. We want to be able to show them the pathway, and we also want to be able to do a great job outside the office. I'm really blessed to be able to be a part of what we have going on at AGH. It's an exciting place to work, and you don't very often hear accounting firms say that it's an exciting place to work.
Right.
It's a great place to work. There's a lot of growth going on, which makes it a lot of fun, and I feel like a responsibility to do the work in the community as well.
Now, that's a true multiplier. In the business community, mm-hmm. when you have more firms, especially of your size, and you empower your employees to go out and encourage them to go out into the community, get active and get involved, and you can multiply that by dozens, you know, 100 plus people. If every company could do that, then the community, you can make a real difference in communities all over the country.
Well, I think that's true. I think we can make a real difference as business leaders by encouraging our folks to be involved in the community. It doesn't always work simply because you have to provide the culture for it. Our culture includes not just the flexibility, but also the emotional support that people need. Everybody in our office goes through something at some time or another. The ability to provide that emotional support for any individual is what helps them understand that we're here for them, the community's here for them, and that they also can be there for the community. So we consider ourselves really a model for ways that you can not only do good in the business world, but you can do good outside the business world in the broader community. We'd love to think that people would follow our lead, but it really is based in the culture that we've been able to create.
Well, and everything you're saying obviously does reach the customer. And you talk about kindred spirits. Randy and Eric, I mean, you guys are genuinely interested and invested in what your customers need and want. I think that's fantastic.
Well, I think today you have to be. And I think that's true if you're an accounting firm or if you're in, you know, consumer products. If you're not invested with your client and what they need, they see right through that. And they don't want to do business with you. You know, if you're an airline and you don't really care that you lose the bags all the time, people are going to stop flying because they don't have anything to get dressed in when they land. Mm-hmm. And it's true. It's true in accounting. You have to be invested with your client. They have to understand that you're there for them. And when you can't provide that attention, that responsiveness, that responsibility towards the client recognizes it very, very quickly.
So let's leave our listeners with coordinates so that they can reach out and talk with someone out at your organization.
Absolutely. You can find us on the web at aghllc.com or reach us at the office at 404-233-5486.
Well, thanks again for coming out and hanging out with us, man.
A pleasure. I love seeing you guys, and I hope we'll do it again soon.
Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our guest this morning, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the Fast Lane.